Hello everyone, nice to be with you today. I'm Margot de Coatsworth and this is Ask Margot, your go-to spot for getting answers to the sticky questions of life. You can also listen to Coast Access Radio shows on Spotify and Apple, as well as here, so that's a place to get the previous episodes if you should wish to listen to them. And the other fabulous shows, of course, that Coast produces. I'm also posting excerpts from Ask Margot questions weekdays on LinkedIn, so you can see individual questions there in writing, if you so desire. I have a few things on my mind today, so that's what I'm going to cover by way of my introduction. In a minute, I'll stop talking about memory, but there are still a couple of things I want to share. This might be useful for you if you have people who roll their eyes at you because you've forgotten something. I have come up with what I think is a clever explanation for why I don't always recall things immediately. I said to one of my children that everything that's happened in my life is in the vault. Once it's in the past, that's where it goes, as I don't need it to be top of mind anymore. When I do need it, or a trigger reminds me, I get it from the vault, and I remember it. They loved that. Mother hasn't gone mad yet. And I liked it too. It makes me feel better about my recall. Even if it's not instant, I know it's there. It's there in the vault. It's just not what I was thinking about a moment ago. I must therefore retrieve it from the vault. It's really important that we are kind to ourselves in these areas of life. It's like not being able to sleep sometimes. Just relax and be. The same thing applies. Just relax and let it be, and then you'll remember. If someone gives you a hard time, just say, it's in the vault and you need to retrieve it from there. There's a lifetime of stuff in there after all, for most of us. One other thing I heard recently that I loved, and I'm most certainly going to try, is if you can't think of a word, say, I forget the English word for it. And that way people will think you're actually bilingual and not just losing your memory. I do like that. Anyway, this spot is meant to be my intro, so you know who I am, if you're wondering. I am writing a book. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this, but it's called You Are the Genie. And it's all about the innate power we have to be the genie in our own life. It's what I talk about all the time. Taking up both our power and our responsibility to be in charge of bringing our wishes to fruition. The other thing I'd like to share is about these wish lists of ours. I'm doing this myself with three important things that I want. When I wake up, absolutely first thing in the morning and last thing at night before I sleep, and any time in between when either a thought of lack comes into my mind or something makes me think about what I want, maybe not in a positive way. If I wake up in the middle of the night, it's a good time to say immediately, thank you for my fantastic new job, my beautiful best friend, my wonderful holiday in Timbuktu. Those are not my three things, but you get my meaning. Always add a descriptive word to your desire. Wonderful, fabulous, sparkling. Sparkling is such a great word. I absolutely love it. I talk to God a lot, so you can address this to anyone you choose. I choose to address it to Him. You can address the universe, your higher self, your genie, which is kind of your higher self. God and I are quite chatty, so that's always worked for me. I'm happy to have some God questions here from you, by the way. My whole life has been dedicated to understanding more of how our dance with God works. I see it as a dance. So try that with your own wish list. What it does is set you up really for the day and it sets up your subconscious program of expecting what you want. It's also in line with the important concept of seeing yourself with what you want already and not looking at it as though it's apart from you and not yours yet. It's a kind of mind game that works on an energetic level. The reason you add the descriptive words is for the emotion it ignites in you. It kind of enlivens your wish. Try that now and see how you go. Thank you for my holiday versus thank you for my sun-soaked holiday. Can you feel the difference? You need to get your emotions right in there because they have the power to work for you. It's very exciting. Now, our first question today is from Connie. She wants to know how to deal with the tedium of small talk. Well, most of us can't abide small talk. We don't mind connecting with people, but we absolutely do not enjoy meaningless, banal small talk. How can we avoid it? The first thing, of course, is to say something outrageous. I have a friend who went to a party and told each person she met there a completely different story about herself. Completely different. It was received quite well. The other thing you can do is dive in and ask deep and profound meaning of life kind of questions. I've done this. You do have to pick your audience, though, and be able to handle the response from someone who doesn't know how to respond. You can ask an interesting question or skip that altogether and talk about things you're interested in. Have you read anything by so-and-so? Or have you seen this particular movie that's just been released? Stay away from politics and religion, as that can get very feisty very fast. You could always say you're researching for a book. I like this idea. I might try it. They say we all have a book in us. And then ask them a question or a little survey, such as, I'm doing a survey for a book I may write about small talk. Could you give me your opinion and just a single suggestion for how to avoid it? If they have a sense of humour, they will get that right away and you'll end up having a highly entertaining conversation with them. Possibly you will marry them. If they don't get that you are just playing, at that point small talk may be more appealing to them. Seriously though, it is a tricky one as we have to meet new people all the time in life and start conversations somehow. You could just go straight in with, small talk is so dull, isn't it? What shall we talk about instead? So that's like throwing the ball back to them. One thing I do quite often, if I'm in a room full of people I need to say hello to, I often will grab a platter of food and take it around the room. It gives you an opportunity to smile and acknowledge people very briefly, but because you're offering food to everyone, you have to keep moving. So you can quickly work the room and discharge your meet and greet responsibility. Hi, how are you, Helen? Nice to see you. What a fun party. Try one of these delicious so-and-sos. And off you go to the next person. Second only to the prospect of small talk is the interminable goodbye. You know, the one that takes forever. I'm not good at that. If you feel it's time to leave, say goodbye and leave. That's my philosophy. If you're leaving with someone, they must be on board for the fast goodbye, or this will leave them spinning and wondering what on earth's going on. I have an Irish connection in my family, and I'm told the Irish goodbye is just leave, without the goodbye part. That's a bit too much for me. But what I do is to quickly speak to the hosts and say thank you. Then I position myself by the door with all the leaving accoutrement in hand, so I'm ready and poised to leave. So I've got my coat and whatever I brought with me. Then I just call out loudly in a very sing-song voice, bye everyone, flash a big smile around the room, wave, maybe blow a kiss, and go. Just go. So Try those ideas, one for small talk, that's when you arrive at a party, and one for getting away, when you leave. I hope that some of that might work for you, Connie. Our next question is from Adele. She says she finds it so hard to make decisions sometimes, and she wants to know, if it's not too silly a question, how to make it easier. Well, Adele, some decisions are just hard and nothing is going to make them easy. It's important to know what you want first of all. Make sure you know what your important values are, because that's your baseline or foundation for all the decisions and choices you will make in your life. Sit down and make a list of the things you care about and what's important to you. Then you have a considered platform for all your future decisions. Here's something I found recently, which I really appreciated, talking about hard decisions. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Being overweight is hard. Being in shape is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Starting a business is hard. Working a 9-to-5 job is hard. Choose your hard. Life may not be easy, but you can choose your hard. Choose wisely. I thought that was quite a profound thing to think about. I guess if we don't want to put effort into any particular area of life, work, relationships, let's face it, housework, then we have to bear the consequences. If everything worthwhile is a little bit hard to achieve, let's make good choices about what we choose to put our energy into. I don't mean to imply that some choices are easy or simple. To stay or to go in a relationship is a vicious hard choice to make. But they are ours to make, and we have to own them. That's hard to accept sometimes. Each of us finds some choices easier than others. Some behaviours, for example, we may be unequivocal about. No, not now, not ever, never. Or yes, of course, absolutely, always. And other things we just might be indecisive about. I'm a bit of a wuss sometimes as I worry excessively about other people's feelings. This seems nice, but it can be a problem when the other person has to pick up their own responsibility for how they feel about or deal with something. I'm all about choice. We are the ones who should and can only make the choices for ourselves in our own lives. If you are busy making choices for someone else, young children aside, then stop doing that. God did not give you that special job to be the boss in someone else's life. Time to back up and back off and mind your own life and business. Mind someone else's only if they ask you to. Adele, I hope that starting with that and what really matters to you will help you make choices that are right for you, no matter how hard they may be. Our next question today is about health. Sue just doesn't get how her mind has any influence over her body, and she wants to understand a bit more about that. Could I elaborate? This is about my conversation about our mind-body connection. I was thinking the other day about how if you pay a bit more, you can get all kinds of things done for you. You can get housework, gardening, IT stuff, any kind of assistance in business. And I thought, imagine done for you, perfect health. I love this idea. Wouldn't it be great if we could opt for the done for you fast track to perfect health? Well, you could pop an appropriate pill, or you could opt for a miracle. I love those. But generally speaking, the restoration of our health requires our full participation. If we were able to get close to done for you, it would look something like this. Start at the beginning. Ask yourself, why might you be sick in the first place? How do you fix something or stop it from popping back up to visit you again if you don't know why it's there and what caused it? It's important to look at those. They're two different things, why it's there and what caused it. Follow the trail to the source, which is your subconscious, and the source, which is your superconscious. It's the source in capital letters. We are smart creatures, and we need to employ determined and clever thinking around our health. We need to stop accepting the status quo, because if we do that, we are handing our intrinsic power over to others or to a belief we have not bought into ourselves. And that's the opposite of done for you. That's done to you, and that's rubbish. Once you have worked out the why, you can start to reprogram your subconscious mind for the success you want. Then you're working from a strong, clear foundation. You just can't build anything worthwhile on a crummy, dodgy foundation. Next, in the steps to get to where you want to go, is to move to the present moment and employ every trick in the book to make sure you are doing all you can with your thinking, speaking, and actions, and that these are in alignment with what you want and not what you don't want or don't have. The past does not equal the future. One of my favorite insights, and certainly one of the most profound I've ever come across, is from Carl Jung. He said, until we make the unconscious conscious, it will direct our lives and we will call it fate. I've said that before. Doesn't that just smack of tragic victimism? What's worse than being a victim? Anyone? It's not knowing you are. We are so much bigger than our physical 3D bodies. We are profoundly intelligent beings with bodies of magnificent intricacy and capability. We are beings with incredible potential for insight, for understanding and discovery. We must immediately stop accepting what is accepted without thinking, questioning, and asking why. We are designed to seek and discover. That's our nature. Let's not be dumbed down. Let's not accept what has been accepted just because it once was accepted by somebody. You don't even know that person. Next time someone says to you, there's no cure for that, correct them and say, that is not a true statement. You don't know there isn't a cure. You just know that we haven't discovered one yet. Even the energy around those statements is so different. One is optimistic and positive. One is fatalistic and negative, frankly. Because if we really did just accept whatever is apparent, we would have had no scientific, medical, or any other kind of progress in the world ever. That's how we grow. That's how we learn, by questioning and discovering. I've been on a quest all my life to discover just what kind of power we really have to pull in what we want into our lives. I know we can do it. We have the things and we have the capability. I know we can do it. We can have the things we envision. It may take time. It may take effort. It may require our stepping into some bigger thinking. But if not now, then when? If not us, then who? If we are talking about done for you perfect health, the reality of that is that it must be done for you by you. You can be shown the way, but you are the one who must walk the path. There is an enormous amount of medical evidence that our minds are directing our body's health. I don't have a medical background, but I can point you to proof if you would like me to. Just write and I'll send you people to follow and books to read on this ever-evolving subject. You could start with Joe Dispenza and Deepak Chopra. They do have medical backgrounds and their lives are dedicated to the discovery of our ability to influence our own health. We're still learning and we have a lot further to go. Thank you for that question, Sue. You can probably tell I'm fired up about that. Our last question today is about loneliness. And I thought, it is a fearful thing. I think it induces fear in people. I have been asked by Juliet how to cope with loneliness. She has a friend who is by himself and quite deeply lonely. She wants to know how she can help him. I'll certainly try, Juliet. There are some things in life that kind of gnaw at us if there is space for them to do so. Brokenheartedness is one. Loneliness is one. Perceived failure is one. And so is regret. Maybe we should talk about each of these at some point, but today we're focusing on loneliness. I know we've touched on this previously, but let's look at it again today anyway. Firstly, I fully acknowledge and understand that loneliness can be a powerful and fearful thing in people's lives. It has nothing to do with being alone. I'm alone, but not lonely. I know people who love being alone. We are talking about getting lost in loneliness, losing yourself to it. That we must fix, whether you are by yourself or not. People can be deeply lonely and not alone. It's primarily about you rather than other people's involvement in your life. Not altogether, but a big part of it. So let's look at what can be done. Firstly, you must see and acknowledge your worth, your value as a human being. It's limitless and eternal and undeniable. You are unique and special and one of a kind. Wear it proudly and don't let anyone, especially you, yourself, tell you differently. Secondly, I think it's important to know what you do want. You know what you don't want, so now it's time to qualify exactly what you do want. Take some time to write down your ideal situation. What would you be doing? How would your life look? How would your day go? Cover your activities and the people you would connect with. Make it in the present tense. Give it life and colour and description. That's part one. Then read back through that and write how each of these things makes you feel, because that's what this is about. It's not about what is or isn't going on. It's about how you feel. If you want to tune into this a bit more as a separate exercise, you can write down how you feel now on the left-hand side of a piece of paper using single words. Maybe they would be sad, heavy, dark, hopeless. And then write on the opposite side of the paper the opposite words. Write the words you want to feel. Be very direct about that. I feel sad, I must be happy. I feel low, I want to feel upbeat. Now, I want you to write what I call a little movie vignette using all those desired feeling words, as though your life is a movie and you have taken a screenshot of it, where you are in the place you want to be, feeling what you want to feel. If you're feeling quite low now, this may take a bit of focus. Try to elevate your state first by perhaps being somewhere beautiful and happy. Sit in a park to do this, or by the sea or a river. Hear someone in your movie saying something you would love to hear that would signify that you are no longer feeling lonely. You'll know what it is. This is your movie. You're the star. You get to choose. This movie vignette is to be your happy place. You focus on it. You take yourself there anytime you feel the pang of loneliness. You manage your thinking because you can and because it's your job. And because unless you do, nothing will change. It's your responsibility to seize hold of this power you have to redirect your mind, which will then take your emotions with it. Now to the practical. You must never allow yourself to, forgive me for using such a word, but you must never allow yourself to wallow. Wallowing is a no-go zone. Your thoughts are yours, take hold of them and switch them up. Be deliberate and be determined. Think about a time when you weren't lonely. What was that like? How could you pull those qualities into your life now? Try to think outwardly. What can you do that will help someone else who might be lonely? If we direct our attention to helping someone else with the thing we want, they say that works wonders for getting what we want ourselves. If you link up with another lonely person, do not compare lonelinesses. Perhaps instead you could join forces to do some good for others who may be lonely. You could visit a retirement village just to chat over tea. I know from experience they love that and there's a big need. Join a club. Go to church. Church people love to scoop up others into their community. Volunteer. Cook something and share it with a neighbour or a new friend. Share it to make a new friend. Commit to doing one proactive thing a day, even if you don't want to. Do it anyway. Get out of the house. Speak to someone. Smile at a stranger. This is the last thing I want to say. Never identify yourself from now on as a lonely person. That's who you used to be. It's not how you're going to be from this moment forward. So please do get in touch with us with questions. That's our last question for the day. If you have more questions, you can write to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me under the contact tab on my website, margounlimited.com, Margo with a T. Let's finish with a thought about how to get your dreams to become a reality. A dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down to steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action becomes a reality. I like that. I'm going to finish today with the word, our message from the universe. It's about universal law. You know the law is absolute. You may want to label it universal law, but it's just law. It exists eternally. It stands. 1 + 1 = 2 is law. Planting and reaping is law. Input equals output is law. Plant one kind of thing, reap the same. That's law. You cannot do what you have done, and that means it in a good way, and not reap what is coming. It would be impossible. 1 + 1 will never be 3 or less than 2. There are no mistakes. There is always the outcome of the equation. It's fabulous and it is law. That's us for today. I hope everybody has a wonderful week. May it be filled with joy and fulfillment. Till next time. Bye-bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.